And scene.
Me Undies.
Me Undies.
The choice of Martians ever.
Hi, I'm Admiral Scratchy Boxers. You know, in the 23rd century, we have frictionless thighs.
Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent, it is a cellular peptide cake.
But Matt Frosting.
It does like you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Mike McCafferty. I am joined by the ephemeral Kim Miller, the technology
what?
Luddite Kim Miller. It takes 25 minutes to set up the recording equipment.
You're counting the time that I was looking for my stupid earbuds. You can't count that as technologically incompetent.
I could also count the time you said we should podcast. I'll text you in an hour. So that should also be part of it, don't you think?
You just asked me.
That's all right. It's okay. It's okay.
We'd be more arguing about how we didn't get the podcast in time.
This is the good reason that you're here is that you're so literate about Star Trek that it's worth the wait. See? I can twist that around.
Who else is here?
Jason. On the other end of the spectrum, we have
George Edelman.
George Edelman. Playing the role of George Edelman is the effervescent Jason McCarris.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. And
welcome to another podcast that will end up in the garbage bin.
100% certain no one will ever hear this besides the three of us. No, that's not true. It's not true. You know what? We are the single light of knowledge and of rationality in the Trek podcast world. You know, I don't think I mentioned this in the last podcast. Maybe you guys, but Trek FM was there, and Trek FM is like this giant conglomerate.
Yes, I heard you mention them. I'm not familiar with them, only from you talking about it. But don't they do the trivia thing or something? Or
they do everything. They have like 18 podcasts on iTunes. They basically
but at
have
the convention. Weren't they represented at the convention or something?
Yeah, I did mention that. So they had like there were like we did the Quizzards trivia thing, and we came like in like we didn't like final, which was okay. And then we're like, oh, there's another trivia thing, let's hang around for that. And it turned out it was Trek FM's trivia thing where all of their podcast people asked each other trivia questions.
Oh,
so okay. It was just our responsibility as audience members to watch and enjoy them in a visual standpoint as opposed to audio. And they'd actually
I'm sure they were great to look at too.
You know, they were like there were six people on stage, three guys, three girls, and all three guys had glasses and beards. So it was, you know, they're completely had assumed the millennial position, and they actually asked George and Ryan to hang around because they were in TNG costumes. One of those guys like, oh, we're gonna do this cosplay thing. So when I call your name up, you're gonna come up here and you're gonna like stand by either side. And George and Ryan were like, oh yeah, that's not a good idea. And then after like 5 minutes, they're like, ah, let's just go. So we left. I'm sure they're going to invoke their names and then no one was going to show up. But that's okay because Trek
it's
FM.
Like, Ryan was kind of a pseudo celebrity there. People were recognizing him from his designs and costumes.
Yes. And we should – I should tag this with – if you haven't heard the last podcast, make sure you listen to it because it sort of foreshadows Ryan and George's costume for the costume contest.
Right.
Where 3 years ago he did not final – but this year, George and Ryan in their Star Trek First Contact Excellent Contest costume. Contest costume.
Whoa. Contest excellent. Of excellence.
Contest of excellence. They took second place.
Oh, can't sell the pictures of them. They look so cool. And what a unique costume to make.
It was so good. It was so faithful to the original costume.
Should have had like a floating arm attached to his neck.
I was going to say that for the Ensign Hawk motif.
Ensign Hawk.
The only thing that they had changed was that their head panels, like, you know, the clear head panels on the top, they didn't put the plastic over for ventilation. So, you know.
Oh, no. Wonder.
Yeah, I know. That's why they took second place. They took second place. Did you see first place, Kim?
No.
Well, Jason, you won't know the reference, but two people showed up as the cat's paws aliens.
What? I mean, at the very end of the episode?
Yes, at the very end of the
Oh, my God.
like search for it on the web. They're outstanding.
Wow.
There's no strings on them. So Jason in Cat's Paw, if you don't know, it's the Halloween episode in second season.
I'm not there yet.
It's not very good, but it's very Halloween-y. There's witches and there's castles and there's skeletons. And at the end, they have these two aliens, these two tiny aliens, who are basically just like puppets. You can and you could see the strings on them. I think they might have erased them HD remastered ones. But you can see the strings as these little puppets are moving around in slow motion. And they like set them on fire or something like that. It's all terrible. It's just like, oh, man.
And they make that very distinctive kind of chirping noise.
So they won first place. But Ryan and George, friends of the podcast, good podcasters when they're sober, took second place.
We heard you, George.
Yeah, we there are some lost.
We got a little extra credit session.
So if you listen to the previous podcast, George was like two sheets to the wind. And afterwards,
the third was what we heard.
The third, there is a lost podcast where George and I went downstairs around 1 a.m. in the morning, went trolling for drunk people, and then physician drunk thyself is what happened because it went downhill. But someday that will be played, but not this time. But congratulations to those two guys. They won $500 in Creation Entertainment. In-store credit.
Cool.
Oh.
So they can get like pictures with all the cast members that they want.
Yeah, I was going to say they could buy autographs at the convention.
Well, they can get photo ops, and I guess they got a big photo op with Jonathan Frakes. They're in love with Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, if you're a fan of Jonathan Frakes, check out Future Worm by our friend Brian Weissel.
Brian Weissel.
He did a little parody on Star Trek with Captain Steakface. What was it called?
I think that's what it was. It was great. Really
Future funny. Worm? Did you say
Future Worm? It's okay. and he does a little subset of it. It's like 3 minutes long. Oh, it's really funny. And I guess there's like three more of them coming up with Frakes. And Brian he loves working with Frakes. And hopefully he'll have many many more to come.
Cool.
But yeah, so that was the second part of that. So check out on the internet, check out George and Ryan's outfit. I'll try and put it on the Facebook page. Hey, check out our Facebook page. I just want to talk about Star Trek.
I've not even seen it yet.
Oh, what? You haven't seen it? No, it's filled with stuff. Yeah, go there and like it. We're on the move now. We have the Enterprise has cleared its moorings, and I have passed through all my big three of things to do this year. Right. Iowa,
true.
San Diego, and Vegas.
Are we going to get some sort of, state of the McCafferty address? Or are you going to let us know what you've learned?
I'm still processing.
August. What are you going to do?
Well, George, drunk George.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. He wants me to do a one man show.
Oh.
But he called it the one fan show, which I thought was for a drunk guy pretty good. Not bad.
Pretty good. Yeah.
So we might be doing that. Maybe that might be August. September, I've got a really good idea for it, but you're going to have to come up here, Kim. Okay. I won't reveal what it is, but it's going to be a great idea because that'll be the actual 50th anniversary. September 9th. And so we're going to make it special. And then beyond that, Star Trek Beyond. So Kim, you watched the movie again. Let's jump into that right now. You watched the movie again. I did my big review.
Yes.
And you watched it again.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
I feel bad. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no.
I feel bad because I was I was trying to not be all hypercritical, like, tendency to be when you're a fan for something, you just turn into comic book guy. Worst episode ever. So I was just trying to enjoy it. And I saw it in 3D IMAX. Shut up. We have an ongoing feud about the continuing quality of The Simpsons. I think it's still funny. It's still a good show. They dump all over it. Both of them.
No, that's not. We don't dump over. We're just surprised that you're like the last holdout who has watched Simpsons. No one else watches Simpsons, Kim. That is verifiable.
Fox looks at the ratings and they go, well, if that one person still watches.
We got one.
As long as that one person's watching, we're going to keep it on.
Anyway, so I saw in 3D IMAX, and it was worth it. I thought, yeah, 3D is too distracting. It's, the space, all the things shot in space look pretty amazing. I didn't care for the Jayla character the second time around.
Yep.
She's just so kind of predictable. I did appreciate the connecting moments with Spock and Bones and the idea of routine on the ship. And like you mentioned, like when he opens his closet and all the same uniforms. And I like that day-to-day sort of, what do you do when you're stuck in space with the same group of people for years at a time?
Yeah.
So that was very cool to relive. Idris Elba, or what did you call him? Idrian or Iridian, Obsidian Elba.
Idris. Idris.
So I'm not.
Explain to me his
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. So his main thing is that he was captain of a ship, crashed. He felt abandoned by the Federation, like discarded as a soldier all his life, and they couldn't use him anymore. So he decides to destroy this gigantic outpost and just destroy the Federation. I don't quite get that.
There's a lot of questions to be asked about Krall.
Yeah.
About Governor Krall.
About Diana Krall.
Diana Krall. Yeah.
Yeah, he was, I would have to say, to be honest, like out of all the villains that we've seen in the new Trek, he is probably the poorest fleshed out. I still don't know what the hell he's trying to do. I mean, is he going to go to Earth with that weird dust? I mean, what's his end plan? I mean, to get ready to fight? I mean, it's like, I just didn't understand, like American Gladiators, like, what are you doing?
He's so angry at the Federation that he wants to murder millions of Federation. I'm like, why?
Yeah,
because
he did it twice. You don't know what's going on still. So it was definitely, out of all the villains, I would say he is on the lower end of the spectrum as far as being a compelling, interesting villain.
Mm-hmm.
Like close to the Klingon in Star Trek V, like the sleeveless Klingon. Remember that guy who was chasing around Kirk? The Final Frontier.
It's been a while since I've seen that one.
Okay, that's all right. Well, then just take my word for it that like there was a Klingon who was like the sleeveless Klingon chasing around Kirk, and at the end he's forced to apologize for chasing around Kirk. It's
I'm sorry.
It really is. It's exactly what happens. There's all sorts of nonsense there.
I've been kind of tempted to go see it again myself just because of the experience we had was fantastic and outdoors and interesting and spectacular. But at the same time, I didn't really get a grasp on the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it just went by so fast and I don't know. I enjoyed it, but I'd love to kind of watch, in a little more.
3D IMAX.
Well, the funny thing is I was just looking this up because I'd seen it and maybe Mike's interested if it's still around, but there is a special panoramic format that they've come out with just for this. It's called the Barco Escape format.
What?
It's got two additional screens on the side of the main screen.
Oh.
Wrap around.
Yeah.
Where is that? It's in a few theaters, a handful of theaters around the country, I think, but one of them is the Regal LA Live downtown.
Ooh, we should go there.
Yeah, we should. We should check it out because it's kind of a cool thing. But then again, we're still not seeing it as like a regular movie experience. But,
that's true. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, like at least it was made with the idea that like a mass audience could consume it, not just 3,000 people.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it'd be an interesting, cool, fun thing to see.
Visually, I really enjoyed it more, obviously, since we were under less than perfect circumstances, like Conan O'Brien joke. I love the idea of a swarm of attackers rather than ships, as we talked about, getting bigger and bigger and badder.
Did
we ever address the fact that we saw Balak?
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 Balak.
Yes, on the screen as we came into the
premiere. Oh. Well,
that episode. It was quite powerful.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Corbinite maneuver is definitive Star Trek because, it's got all the mystery and intrigue, and then it has the big switch at the end.
Right. kind of so, Twilight Zone-y ending.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of fun. I'm actually going to work on kind of one of my deep dive podcasts that's coming up about the lonely gods that are in Star Trek. I think it's going to be very interesting to take a look at that. Because they do pop up, these stronger, like very, very powerful creatures which have very human wants and needs, you know, that are petty at times. So and Baylock almost fits into that because he just wants a friend. You know, he just wants, I mean, like he antagonizes the Enterprise just so he can get, like, you know, a friend.
Without any consequences, mind you.
Right, there's no consequence. Yeah, like the Federation doesn't, like, attack him for, like, you know, being belligerent towards the ship. It's like, this is okay. So
skin of evil, throw him in.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, did I see that picture of Armus? There was someone dressed as Armus.
No.
Oh, good.
I'd love to see that.
Oh, they're just and like it's basically like they're wearing black trash bags. You know, Armus, the skin of evil. But you know, you go to these things with these big costumes, and you just kind of stand there and let people take pictures of you. And I don't know if that person could see or breathe. You know, wearing like shiny black plastic all over them. So, so it was great. Another phenomenal costume. So you're a little bit of the blooms off the rose,
a little bit
or beyond.
I found other things to appreciate more. Like I just recently rewatched the first film. Hi, Christopher, I'm Nero.
Oh, and that first film.
God, I forgot how infuriating the lens flare nonsense is. There's none of that in this film.
Yeah, well, you know, they got so much pushback on that. Yeah. So much.
It was, and I didn't feel like they were mining beloved moments and plot lines and characters from previous incarnations of Star Trek. Slight, you know, as you mentioned, that we all liked, I think, that the birthday toast scene.
Right,
felt familiar, but kind of updated and cool. And I think this was the first time that I kind of started to feel like, okay, I can kind of accept them as characters and not imposters in my beloved favorite character. Still not a fan of Chris Pine, but
other people,
like, still,
you don't like them just in time for them to leave, Doctor.
Yes, I know.
that may be a reality. It may be closer than you think. I mean, this movie didn't do that well. Mm. Yeah, it did not do that well as far as the box office.
When I saw it just about a week ago in this huge IMAX theater in San Diego, and there's maybe 20 people there. Like, ooh.
I mean, what, third, fourth week after release? That's,
I suppose.
But it is off from Star Trek 2009 and Star Trek Into Darkness.
The box office is way down.
Yeah, it was way down. So even though they announced Chris Hemsworth in you know the fourth movie, there may not be a fourth movie.
Really? Which you think so?
I mean,
it depends on if they can make that money back overseas.
Yeah, and if they crunch the numbers and say there's enough worth to make a fourth one,
right?
I can guarantee you the budget will be reduced. They will not make a bigger budget film. And at that point in time, they're going, well, is it even worth it? They did that for Star Trek 2.
Star Trek 5 was out there, and they made Star Trek 6.
Yeah, but you know,
Next Generation going at the same time and all that.
This is true, and actually, I've been reading about this. Actually, Star Trek 6 was a difficult sell. They didn't want to make another old generation cast movie, and the cast actually had to take pay cuts for it. Like, you know, Kirk and Spock had, you know, Shatner and Nimoy actually had to take pay cuts. So it's never a sure thing. You know, there's always something. And I'm hoping, I would love for them to strip it down and say, okay, here's $80 million to go make this film, you know, as opposed to like 180. You know, go make a tight, character-driven film. You know, I mean,
that would be cool, actually. I like that idea. As much as I appreciated that crazy space station, three-dimensional skyscraper thing, I thought that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, but how much money are they spending on that, exactly. Right? And you know, and you know, Chris Pine in the wireworks with, you know, headdress elbow and you know, floating around for no good reason. I mean, what is that set piece about? Could no one just like shoot him with?
Interesting, but yeah, okay.
What are the defense systems on like the ventilation systems? You know what I mean? Like is there like, oh, you just go through this thing and like there's no locks on these doors? There's no, I mean, like the dude just walks into the weird like crystal cube that controls all the air for the Yorktown crazy, you know, space station. And you know, I mean, like, what it was, just it was superfluous. We didn't need it. but we got it. So I wouldn't mind.
I feel like we're kind of bearing the lead here because we've been talking so much about Into Darkness. I'm not Into Darkness, pardon me, about Beyond. But part of the reason why we're getting together to have a podcast tonight is because there's been some news about the television series.
Yes, thank you, James. Right. We're back. Well, I want to hear what you guys thought about you know, like have like a 2 weeks later what you thought about it, Beyond. But this is good because Jason effervescently has returned us to the real reason we're here.
But before we do that, I'd like to talk for a minute about MeUndies.
MeUndies. Thank you, Jason.
MeUndies.
What is that again?
Whenever I wear underwear, I like to wear underwear. I like to make it MeUndies. I think that's the catchphrase.
Jason's really, he's pining for some of these MeUndies. He's against me.
He's Chris Pining.
I'm making a big push here.
He's Chris Pining for MeUndies.
What are MeUndies again?
If MeUndies made some like underoos kind of, you know, Star Trek
color-coded
quality underwear.
Yeah.
I think we'd all be wearing it constantly.
Well, I have a pair of green ones. So, Kim, they're underwear for dudes, basically. And they're very silky and very skin tight.
Well,
really?
Everybody who's been mentioning it on their you know, respective podcasts have been talking about it's not silk. It's a different
it's cotton.
It's a different sort of material that they use, but it's super, super soft.
It's like a very soft, it feels like silk, but it's almost like a spandex because there's a lot of give to it.
All right.
Thank God for that. Because I have the extra large, and even that's like, wow, man, this is like a circulation situation pretty soon here. You know, I'm going to stay away from the colored food cube in the replicator because it's
– What?
So my waistline doesn't expand, Kim. Come on, stay with me.
Oh, okay. What picture's up on your Facebook?
Oh, so I guess it's called modal. That's what it is. Micromodal. It's three times softer than cotton. Comfy. Durable.
It's comfy. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, everybody. We're you know, rolling hard on this.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be working on my script, but that's fine. My Hallmark script, Goody Two Shoes, but I couldn't do
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
I know. All right. So MeUndies, if you get a chance, go out and buy a pair because they're actually really good. I was actually surprised. And they're very slinky. They feel very good on you. They make you feel like a superhero.
Slinky.
Yeah.
Slink when I think Batman, I think slinky. Captain America, slinky.
You kind of glide around, you know. There's no friction there. It's like a zero-point friction situation.
What have you been wearing all these years? Burlap.
Well, gentlemen's underwear.
Loose burlap.
Gentlemen's underwear is definitely not gone the way of women's underwear, which is a lot more, you know, form-fitting. It is close to burlap sometimes. I've had some very scratchy boxers before. It's like, wow.
Scratchy boxer sounds like a character.
Yeah.
My favorite band name.
Yeah, it's a Star Wars character. Scratchy boxers.
He was in the Maz Kanata's Cantina.
Quit working Star Wars and everything.
Yeah,
I know. All right,
that wasn't me. It was Mike.
No, I did. But
we'll keep the section brief about MeUndies. Let's talk a little bit about this series coming up. That Brian Fuller, who was at the TCA's Television Critics Association, talking about the new series.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is true. So just today he disclosed some more information. Now we saw in the Star Trek panel at Comic-Con, we saw the ship. A lot of divisive ideas about that. People weren't happy with that, but he's come up with some more information. I'll say the first one we can all kind of read down. It will be set in the Prime Universe. That is a given because CBS controls the Prime Universe and Paramount controls the Kelvin Universe. So there's no way they're going to have a Kelvin. 10 years before Kirk's 5-year mission, it's going to be a prequel.
10 years before Kirk,
right. So now for Jason, this is probably the most, you know, pertinent thing because you are right in lockstep.
It is perfect for me having just watched season one. It's like a prequel to what I've just seen.
Yeah, so.
So how much, remind me, how much time is supposed to have passed between the end of original series and beginning of Enterprise?
I don't know. I mean, it's
I stumped you.
I don't watch Enterprise as much. I think it's probably 100 years, I think, because they didn't even get to the – well, no, because
Make
they didn't – no, because the Romulan War, I believe, was 100 years earlier from Balance of Terror. And so they hadn't reached the Romulan War yet in Enterprise. They were just getting up to it, and they almost did it, and they said, no, let's wait on them.
Okay.
I know a lot of people, and myself probably included, are not thrilled about having a prequel because you already know what the outcome is going to be. You know, unless there's going to be some sort of timeline messing around. A lot of people were hoping that was going to be set after Voyager. And I kind of wish so, too, because we've been just spinning our wheels for the past, like, you know, 20 years now. You know, after, I mean, you know, after Voyager came Enterprise, and it's like, well, we're going backwards. And this is a show about going forward. So, I mean, it'll be great for people like Jason. It'll be great for people who want to see, like, oh, this is how that came about. This is how that came about. But... prequels are always problematic. So anybody else want to read something that's coming
that's
up?
That's interesting that you said that CBS owns the Prime Universe and Paramount owns the Kelvin.
Yeah, this,
well, Paramount,
is, this is...
Paramount doesn't own anything with the Prime Universe anymore?
Well, they
not
do.
No characters are not...
They do, but like here's the thing is that like they own the movies, right?
Right.
But CBS owns the television stuff, and more specifically Kirk, Spock, McCoy, that whole genre of stuff. So when the Paramount started talking about making a movie, I think they're very specific about, like, if you're going to reboot this, we do not want you to in any way interfere with our cash cow of the original series. So they kind of – so that was their solution, was to separate the universes and say, okay, well, why don't we just create our own universe? Because there's – CBS was absolutely not going to let them mess around and say, oh, no, this is how Kirk, Spock, and McCoy should be now. You know, forget about Shatner, and because they still make huge amounts of money off of that, off their likenesses and off of the sales and stuff. So so they kind of firewalled it away. And the reason why, and I've said this before, that I think that they're doing it as close to the original series is because they want to keep on filling that world which they have, that TOS world. They're really, really excited about that. So we'll see. Fuller says, Star Trek Discovery takes events mentioned in previous iteration of Trek but never fully explored. So he said that... an event which was mentioned in Star Trek is what they're going to be kind of working on for this first season.
Right. And one of the unique things is it's the perspective of the show isn't from a captain's perspective for like the first time, is what he's saying, right?
It's going to be –
It's a lieutenant commander with caveats is what he's saying, and it's a female character.
Yeah. So he's trying to mix it all up. And, you know, have a lieutenant commander do all this, which is fine. I mean, it's going to be a 13-episode arc. So, if you want to go ahead and play with that, that's fine. I don't see what difference it's going to make. We're all going to kind of gravitate to the captain anyways, or whoever's in charge.
I have a feeling that means they're going to kill off the captain at some point.
Very possible. That's actually not a bad take. I also want to say, I want to go back to the idea that it's a previously mentioned event that they're going to be circling around. And
mentioned
a lot of people have been
– in the original series, you mean?
Well, in the original series, and this could actually tie into Garth of Izar and Axanar, which is the Klingon, you know, the one of the fights in the Klingon War, which was almost 10 years. It was like 14 years after Star Trek – started, or before Star Trek started. And it would explain why they came down really, really hard on the movie Axanar. They would really clear it up. So that's just kind of a Reddit postulation, so we'll go there and just put that little asterisk on that. We'll probably have a few more aliens than you normally do in a Star Trek cast.
You mean like part of a crew?
I don't know. That's just what he said. That is the quote.
Okay. There will be robots. Very important. There's going to be robots.
He did say there'll be robots. There'll be robots.
And there will be a gay character. Hopefully gay robots too. Just to keep me happy.
If there were gay robots, then I think it'd be okay. I think we'd be
Jason
all right
has
with
some
it.
Strange taste, but it's fine.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've had some pretty great gay robots. C-3PO, for example. Yeah, it's not going to
be. There he goes.
And everybody drink.
would be fairly sober by the end of this. He doesn't do it that often.
He depends on what you drink. If you had the James E at the convention, might be out by now.
Might be. Oh. You might be just fine.
You might be Georged by now. It's he said it will be serialized, but each weekly chapter will also feature closed end stories. Right. So they're kind of having it both ways.
Sounds like they're kind of having their cake and eating it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not going to be necessarily Monster of the Week, but there will be elements that are sort of just episode to episode.
Well, and I'm okay with that because I think shows become so serialized now that, a single episode really has no value anymore.
Right.
You know, you watch and it's like, well, that's just part of a larger picture and, it wasn't very good, so who cares?
People feel like if they miss one, then, I got off track and I'm not going to bother. Or they'll wait till the end and try to binge the whole thing. So.
Right. Oh, and speaking of binging, this is the most outstanding thing that CBS has done. So CBS All Access costs $5.99 a month. So if we want to watch Star Trek, we have to shell out $5.99 in America. Now, at any other country, it's going to be on Netflix. But if you're watching on All Access, you can expect in that one-hour show 12 minutes of commercials.
12?
Yes.
Jeez.
You'll get 12 minutes of commercials.
Pay for the luxury of watching these commercials.
You will pay for that.
You can't skip through them.
No, of course not.
You can't. Yeah, they're gonna be unskippable.
I wonder if they'll do what Hulu did, which is have like a special tier where you could pay $12 a month and have no commercials.
They said they were toying with that idea as well. Yeah. But oh my God, am I going to pay $12 a month to watch Star Trek?
No, you're going to BitTorrent it and not have to deal with any commercials.
Shh, don't say that. Of course we are. Unless some of us be our patron and paid for us three copies of CBS All Access.
Or if we somehow convince Brian Fuller to give us screener copies.
Well, that would be good. Or at least like the code so we could like screen it in advance. That would be pretty cool.
What better PR than to get this podcast talking about the show?
Yeah, we broke the story.
Otherwise, we wouldn't talk about it at all.
Yeah. That's right.
No, absolutely not. We go back to talking about the animated series. And and speaking of which, he also mentioned something about all six series. And someone was like, what do you mean all six series? There's five. And he was talking about the animated series. So he's bringing that back.
Oh, excellent.
The animated series is the redheaded stepchild of Star Trek for sure.
I don't think I've seen any episode since it originally aired. Which was, when was that? The 70s?
72, 73, yeah. It is bad. It is at the low point of animation, the low point of Star Trek.
But they have William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, and who else does voices for that?
They had Nichelle Nichols. They had Majel Barrett. Majel, I don't know.
Majel.
We'll call him. And they also had George Takei, but they didn't have Walter Koenig.
Why is that?
Hates cartoons.
No, they just didn't have the budget. They didn't have. Oh, they had George James Doohan too. George Doohan.
George.
George Doohan.
Headdress Elbow is in it as well.
Headdress Elbow.
George Doohan.
All right, so moving on.
So many questions.
One of the alien characters is named Saru. The end. I don't know why he would disclose that. I mean, bing bong log log. Who cares?
Filipino gang?
Yeah. Kim. My God.
Racist.
Racism. Infinite diversity.
I only make that joke because my friend April, who is Filipino, I always joke with her about the NG sound in Tagalog.
Yeah. Oh. All right.
Send your cards and letters to Mike Cafferty.
That's awesome.
I
have some breaking news, unfortunate breaking news right now, too. As I was looking at this article, I didn't realize – I don't know if you'd heard today or earlier today because we're recording this pretty late. But Barry Jenner passed away, who was Admiral Ross on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And Armin Shimerman was giving his condolences on Twitter.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. I went through the autograph room – and harvested many, many emails for future podcasts. But I tell you, I got to do them quick because these guys, they are getting up there. I'm super excited. About, I mean,
that's so sad. Death Watch 2016.
In memoriam.
Yes. Before they die, get them on the podcast.
Just put all their pictures together. Get it ready. So who did you get? Who did you get signatures from?
I got the email from Gary Lockwood, who was Gary Mitchell. Him.
Yeah, I saw him at Comic-Con maybe 2 years ago, and my friend Steve, who witnessed me meeting him, insists that I insulted him when I did not.
No, he's...
I went up to him and said, oh, I remember you. You were very handsome in that episode. So my friend Steve interpreted that as, you just told him that he's ugly. Oh, like, no.
Yeah.
Told him that I always thought he was very handsome.
No, he's a pistol. I'm a lucky son of a bitch. You're like, okay, all right, sounds good. So we'll get a lot. So, but yeah, they're definitely, it's time to do the podcasts. So what I think that's basically all the information they gave out about the series. Yeah. I'm going to be interested to see how this is going to work. I mean, CBS All Access is only going to have two new series. One is that, and then the other one is going to be a Good Wife spinoff. And then there's a third unmentioned one, I guess, that's going to come on later on. And it's like, this is what's going to drive, you know, the viewership, you know, for $6 a month. You're going to, you know, to watch four episodes of Star Trek with 48 minutes of commercials. Thank you. Thank you, CBS. Some access. And they give all access to the advertisers. That's what they mean. All advertising access. Yeah, sure. Go ahead and make commercials you want. So, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's, you know, he's definitely making some really bold moves. And, you know, the first thing he did was to drop that, to drop that spaceship, the Discovery. That spaceship, my God, what am I? It's so late right now. It's 1:30. That spaceship they're going to be in is going to be
that
great.
Flying saucer looks
amazing. That flying saucer. Well, it's a bold choice. They went with the Ralph McQuarrie look, which they never really went to. So this is going to be really going to kind of
remind me who that is.
Jason.
I'm sorry?
Ralph McQuarrie.
Said, remind me who that is.
Oh, well, he was the production designer on Star Wars. Drink!
Oh!
Drink, yes.
I walked right into that.
I set him up.
Yeah, legendary artist and production designer.
Okay.
Yeah, very well-regarded gentleman all around. Yeah. The design was very cool. I thought it was very – and a friend had said to me that they were suspicious before all this information came out about when the time period was going to be, that it would kind of take place in the future because it almost looked sort of Klingon, like it was a combination of the Klingon and Federation or something like that. Like there was some sort of alliance between the two. But yeah, I don't think that came to pass because we now know it's before the original series.
It does look a lot like the D7 battlecruisers from the original series. Now you haven't seen that yet, have you, Jason? They haven't shown. Maybe they have in the HD versions. The Klingon ships.
I've only seen one episode with the Klingons in season one because I think that's all there is, and I don't believe they showed the ship. Maybe they did, but it was the one where they were on the planet with the aliens that were all about
peace,
keeping
right?
the peace, and they were in the war, and they were committing suicide by going into the chambers and all that sort of thing. So they were on the planet for a lot of that. I don't remember seeing the ship, but
yeah, it was the Organians. I think they added it in.
The Organians, right?
Yeah.
I have so many questions about your experience at the convention. Oh, well. I know you talked about it before, but I want to know more details.
Well, ask away, Kim. I mean,
so the trivia contest. What questions stumped you ultimately?
They had first of all the trivia contest by Quizzards. First of all, it was a dude wearing a Spider-Man shirt. This dude wearing a Spider-Man shirt. That was my first question. It's like, why are you wearing a Spider-Man shirt? It's like, oh, hey, the other one's at home. I'm like, okay, right. And then he immediately
strike one.
Yeah, he immediately like blew a Klingon name. We're like, uh oh, this guy doesn't know what's going on. Secondly, you're given these little remote controls which have like ABCD on it, and they flash the question. It's multiple choice. They flash the question on these monitors, and then oh my God, thanks for that text, Kim.
why do you put your phone right by the microphone?
Loudest text in the world. I've got a text. I'm popular. But anyway, so they flashed the question on there, and then like Spider-Man and his female helper would read the question in sort of a lackadaisical fashion, and then before they finished, like the questioning was over. Like you only have like 10 seconds basically to answer the question. So it would flash, and it would be like, you know, 9, 8, 7. And then it was like a quick 10 seconds, to be honest. And you had to make that choice, A, B, C, D, or E, and then press that. And I had my glasses on. I was sitting in the front. I couldn't read a lot of them because it wasn't a big TV.
So
I need some Retinox. I'm allergic to Retinox. Exactly. Happy birthday. I don't know what to say. You could say thank you. Thank you. Damn it, Jim.
How many people were...
Sorry.
We've lost them. How many people were participating in the contest?
There were, I think, like 20 people. So me, George, and Ryan were there. And we were just kind of like, you know, you just have to make a, you know, it's very instinctual. You can't look anything up. It's just like boom, boom, boom. And we did okay. So the top five moved on to the final round later on that day. And we came in basically sixth and seventh. Ryan and I. George was out. This was in the middle of the day. He must have already been drunk. He was already, you know, one sheet to the wind.
What stumped you?
They had one about the in the Star Trek Online game. What is the name of the animal for something like, oh my God.
Oh, jeez.
No one, you know, there was one of those. And then they had one that was wrong. I think we said in this other podcast that there was a question about in the Star Trek 3, the USS Grissom was what... class of ship? Was it A?
Oh, jeez.
Miranda.
You know those. You're good at these weird classes.
Oh, yeah. Well, so it was like the question was so the Grissom was a Miranda class, an Excelsior class, or an Oberth class?
Oh, my God.
6 seconds.
Miranda. I don't know.
No, the correct answer is actually Oberth. But when they highlighted Excelsior. And man, every single nerd was like, whoa! we were all freaked out. So we were 200 points away from getting into the finals, and that was a 100-point question, so yeah, it wouldn't matter. I really couldn't tell you some of the questions because they were so quick. They were just like, it was just like such a rapid thing. We were going to try and go back because they had like another version at 4 o'clock, but we just didn't make it. Ryan put on his Stolian Web outfit and was just walking around, you know.
Cool.
Give me another question. Give me another question about the convention.
What's in the James T?
Oh, my God. Something that's blue. I don't know. Lots of alcohol. They had it listed down there. But I don't know. I don't know.
How many people were at the convention?
In the thousands, I would say. Less than 10,000. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe like on any given day, like 4,000 to 6,000, I would say. So it wasn't a large convention, you know. It's, you know, you have to fly out there, you know, you have to have, you know, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, the tickets sold out, like they were going on eBay for like $800. Yeah,
it is the largest convention. Is there a larger convention in the world than the Vegas one?
No, I don't think so. There, maybe in London, I'm not sure, but you're not going to get as many people there because, you know, you won't get. You know, like you'll get Shatner. They'll pay Shatner to go out there. You'll get, you know, Picard wasn't there. I mean,
Patrick Stewart,
so tired. Patrick Stewart wasn't there, but everybody else was there. And you know, you can pay for them to come out there and get them a room.
Would you say you'd enjoyed it more as a Star Trek fan more than Comic-Con?
Oh, yeah.
More concentrated Star Trek fans.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the nice thing is, like, when I was wearing my Star Trek outfit, like, at the Comic-Con, I was one of a few. I wasn't the only person, and everyone wasn't wearing a costume. Can we reestablish that? Sorry. You guys are like, oh, so everyone's wearing a costume, Mike? No, you guys. I'm speaking.
Jason said that.
You're both culpable for that. I hated you.
I'm going to have to hear the playback on that one.
Oh, yeah.
I remember saying that, but okay.
You hear my level of irritation.
So angry.
But here, you know, I would say about 30 to 40% of people are wearing pretty good-looking Star Trek costumes. And then every other person is wearing a Star Trek T-shirt of some kind or another.
Nice.
And then like 5 to 10% are wearing kick-ass Star Trek costumes. You know, they're wearing, you know, they had the creatures from Encounter at Farpoint. They had those two jellyfish people. Outstanding. They had someone driving a little Horta, like a remote-controlled Horta was driving around.
You interviewed them, right?
I didn't get the Horta. No, I didn't. We didn't get those people. I interviewed the guy, the Data. The guy looks just like Data, and he had like Data's head from Time's Arrow. And Jason will notice they had the Playboy bunnies from Shore Leave. Remember at the very end?
When you interviewed McCoy in the lost footage,
There's a dude who looks a lot like McCoy, and he was kind of.
They just have like little tufts of rabbit fur on their breasts.
They do, they're these like very attractive women, and I was going to interview them. And instead, McCoy comes up to me. He's like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, okay. I'll talk to you." And then they're gone. Because I was like, "Are you with him?" He's like, "Well, no, but I'm McCoy, so I just thought I'd kind of hang out with him. It's kind of working out." And it's like, I don't think you're really dependent upon that being a big photo op.
I don't think they liked it.
Of all the people, he seems
very. Guy keeps following us.
He seems very eager to talk to you more than most.
Well, that was the second time. That was late at night. Yeah, he was very happy. Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, I had a, like, we'll never play this, but I had a weird line of questions. It's like 1:30 in the morning, like it is now. And I was like, so, you know, you get, you know, because we were talking about the women's, like, so do you, like, at these, you know, conventions, you ever get approached by women? He's like, well, you know, sometimes. And, you know, I was like, do they ever, like, want you to wear the costume? Like, I started asking this weird line of, like, sexually charged questions that completely inappropriate, you know, like. And, he like he was answering, no, I mean, like the costumes are kind of scratchy, you know, scratchy boxers.
Scratchy boxers. See, like, oh. He's back.
Hey, welcome back.
The new robot from Star Trek.
Lieutenant Scratchy Boxers.
Brian Fuller couldn't reveal everything, so he
Came back.
There will be robots named Scratchy Boxers.
Saru is a code name for Scratchy Boxers. Scratchy Boxers.
Scratchy's with an I.
But he was wearing his silky medical shirt, as we go back to MeUndies. Shirt. He's like, well, yeah, that's kind of soft. I guess you could wear that. I'm like, okay, I've said enough. I've, you know. So I kind of excused him. Then a girl came up to me and talked to me about Tribbles. She was kind of angry. I don't know.
Did people appreciate your bathrobe?
They did. Yeah, a lot of people appreciated the bathrobe. Like, oh, that's great, man. Some people.
I didn't know you had matching little slippers too.
Yeah, you know, I didn't bring them for Comic-Con because I was like, oh, man, that is just going to be a slog. But
oh yeah.
Because we were in the Rio the whole time, it's like I can rock with this. but you know, I looked at my little iPhone tracker, and I had walked that day 8 miles. Wow. And 6 of them were in the slippers, and by the end, my calves were burning. they were in so much pain. It was rough. The next day, I like chicken walking all over the place. Jason,
success.
Are you still there? Yes. What's going on? What are you?
Still here. I'm just investigating the internet. Everything about MeUndies. Trying to.
Are you digging deep on this?
Digging deep into the MeUndies underworld of underwear.
The underworld of underwear.
I'm looking, you know, I'm learning all I can about 92% micromodal.
Oh, gosh.
They're the ultimate feel-good undies, Mike. They're built to last and made with luxe and lightweight fabric. Their generous pouch gives you your stuff.
You put music under this.
Yeah, I know.
Without feeling too tight.
I also have to admit that I killed my second spider in here tonight.
Oh, excellent.
I killed. Be nice to spiders.
No, they literally.
That spider was a Klingon.
Yeah, they're terrifying. I hate them. If you listen to like the previous two episodes, where I killed a cockroach that was crawling on the wall, a giant one. But these spiders, they just come running right out from like, I don't know where they come from. And they're generally like right at my foot. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. I mean, you know, I have to do it, you know, and it's rough. But I feel like I have to send a message. You know, tell them this is inappropriate.
Take this back to your leader.
Yeah, yeah.
Severed leg of one of your victims.
That's right.
Let him know who did this.
You kill 99 of them, and then the last one you send back. That's what they did.
Well, now that you've finished your triumvirate of Star Trek-themed events of the year.
Well, I guess we'll do the show, the one-man show, the one-fan show.
One-fan show and official 50th birthday in September.
Yes. Of Star Trek. Not mine. Not mine.
Oh, well. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say.
The series.
Yes, of the series. Not quite there yet. And I'm also circling around the idea of like a musical, episode where we like actually do all the music of Star Trek. Because I saw my student again. She was there at the Mac installation.
Oh, really?
Singing, you know, on the Starship Enterprise. She was there again, making even more money. She's like, oh, so much money. You're like, oh, God.
So she was appearing at the Vegas convention as well.
Yeah. They were all there. They're all there. So,
for Mac again?
Yeah. It was basically the exact same Enterprise set, you know, saucer section. They basically, you know, carted over there and got those all guys for the same thing. And I walked up to her in my bathroom, like, hey, it's me. I'm stalking you. This is funny. Ha ha. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's good to see you. I'm about ready to go on. Like, oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I've been totally like lost me.
I thought her response was going to be, weren't you wearing the same thing last time I saw you?
No, I was wearing the Captain Kirk shirt, I think, or something else when I saw her.
Okay. Did you see the 7 of 9 this time?
I did. She was just like standing there. So most of these people like have it pretty easy. They just kind of like stand there and just like, I'm a Vulcan. You know, I'm
pose, yeah.
There was a Deanna Troi there that time, and she was just kind of standing there smiling. But Ariana, my student, she's got a lot of heavy lifting to do there. The Orion girl, she does a little Orion slave dance. You know, which is fine. Mm-hmm. She's got really tall heels on, so she doesn't really, like, go for it. It's a lot of upper body work. You know, it's a lot of hands, you know.
You gave her your notes afterwards.
I did. I wasn't really buying into it, you know. I mean, if you're from Orion, really, I need you to feel the passion because you enjoy this.
You gave her notes here and said, you're like, Orion girls don't do the live long and prosper.
Oh, that's right. This is true. Yeah,
she's like, what?
She did the Vulcan salute in at Comic-Con. The Orion slave girl did the Vulcan salute, and I was like, you don't do that. You know, and this beautiful woman, this beautiful specimen of a woman, and of course, in my nerdness, I think, you don't do that. You know.
You're a 14-year-old Mike all over.
I know. You know, like she really cares what like this overweight middle-aged dude's telling her. You know? Like, hey, I got a podcast, man. I'm gonna totally whip you on the podcast in like 3 weeks. So you're on blast, lady. You know,
keep her on blast.
Put some shade at you, right? Isn't that what they say? Millennials, help us.
Oh, you're millennial. Lingo. It's very impressive.
The internet's filled with it, man. I'm all over it. No, I missed not working at Universal Studios, the entertainment capital of L.A., which they were...
Sponsor of the
podcast. No, screw those guys. Because all these young people would have all these really cool phrases that I'd hear from them when I was doing my terrible shows at Universal.
They would tell you that you were on fleek.
They used the phrase on fleek a couple years ago, and I had to look it up, and then, like, I used it. So.
That tells you something. I had to look it up.
Well,
I had to put on my reading glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm allergic to
it. What's this? On flack? I don't understand.
Well, later on, I said it for my acting students, and I almost blew their minds completely off. I was like, oh, my God, what a horrible thing for you to say, Mike.
Don't ever say that again.
I finally become what I hated so much as a child. You know, older authority figure trying to be relevant. But see, this is the beautiful thing about Star Trek is we don't need to worry about being relevant because the show is older than we are. We are right within the wheelhouse.
Barely.
And we become historians of this. So all those jackasses on Trek FM that we hate, hate them now.
Are you trying to start a feud?
Well, yeah, see, here's the thing. Like, I try to be nice in all these things, but then I realize, screw it, we're not getting enough viewership, so I might as well be like a jackass towards these people. And I say, I hate Trek. I've never met any of them, but I hate them. Something you can really, you know, grab a hold of. You know, I'm going to be the con to them. I'm going to totally mess their world up. You still remember after all these years.
Well, there's nothing that draws publicity like a good feud.
This is true. This is true. And actually, Feral Audio is having a little feud with, with Brain Gum or some stupid thing.
Who knows? I don't even want to give them a plug. But yeah, they were trying to steal a bunch of, or all of Dustin's podcasters from his network.
Good news is, didn't talk to me, so...
I was going to ask you that. Shows you the real value of this podcast.
Yeah,
they knew to not even bother asking Mike.
That's Well, they, like someone said, yeah, they're trying to steal your good podcasters by sending them emails. And I was like, I didn't get an email, so.
Oh. Put music under this, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike replied, I didn't get any emails. And they replied back, who's this? Yeah, you're on the network?
Well, we're still not on the thing. We're still not on, like, the Feral Audio, like, list of shows. So I guess we have to
talk. Oh, no.
No, if you go to iTunes and there's, like, a little banner that says Feral Audio, like, we're not on those shows. So it's still a process. Maybe I'll email him right now. I'll email Dustin and say, hey, man, you know, I know he's a big fan of the show. Let's, you know, let's get a little love here, you know.
He's listening right now. This he's going to be listening an hour deep.
He's in real time. He's listening right now.
Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, my goodness.
No, it's all right. We don't need that. We're going to make our own path here, just like the USS Discovery is going to make it. Yeah, see, there we go. We brought it back. We've got you know, we've got like 3 minutes left before we hit the 1 hour mark, so maybe we should do a little role play. I'm feeling it. You know, it's 1:47.
Really?
You are. Let's be the designers at the Utopia Planitia docks where they make spaceships. And we're making that new USS Discovery. All right? We're the architects. All right? Okay. So imagine, if you will, ladies and gentlemen, you're on Mars, the Utopia Planitia. That Martian wind is stirring up a lot of red dust. And there, hovering in space, is an odd-shaped... I don't know what that is. I think that was space tumbleweed or something. I don't know.
It was hovering.
Oh, it's hovering. It's hovering. Yes, it's hovering in space dock. And we have not one, not two, but three architects talking over the design of the USS Discovery.
Oh, boy.
Who is going to do it first?
Confusing our podcasts.
Listen to Hoda.
I don't know what a podcast is. I'm on Mars, for crying out loud.
Oh.
Boy, that Mars dust is really infecting my Mars allergies.
I am Admiral Scratchy Boxers here, and where's that Cockney ship designer?
Oi, someone looking for me?
Oh, a female. You must be in charge of the ship. Is this correct?
That's right. A female is what entered the room.
Well, let me get my alien friend Saru. Oh, Saru.
Saru.
Oh, excuse me. That's me.
It's the most alien voice I've ever heard.
My name's Saru.
I can't understand his weird accent. I just became Australian.
It's all right. I'm an older person here, and I hate him. I hate all aliens. Isn't that correct?
It's really a burden to be working with such a close-minded person.
That's right. I'll learn nothing here in this semi-serialized episode.
I'm sorry. It's time for our commercial break.
Oh! And scene.
Me Undies.
Me Undies.
The choice of Martians ever.
Hi, I'm Admiral Scratchy Boxers. You know, in the 23rd century, we have frictionless thighs. But for you, you need to put on Me Undies. Me Undies has just the right fit if you're as fat as I am. So try Me Undies today. Beam it on to your crotch, and you'll never be one to be watched. The end.
There's a tagline if they ever needed one.
Beam it onto your crotch.
Beam it onto your crotch. All right, that's it. We're going to close it up here now. We have 20 seconds. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes and all that sort of stuff. Follow us on the Facebook page. Check us out on Twitter. My name is Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm George Edelman.
And I just want to talk about
Star Trek!
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
Error, flaw, imperfection.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Blah, 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 blah!
Two, four, Alamarine. three more. Alan Moraine, if you can see. Alan Moraine, you'll come with me.
Alan Moraine, you'll come with me.
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island, yeah, and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you